Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Have you ever experienced deja vu? Imagine, if you will, a camera that can literally bring you back in time. Imagine further if you realize that camera can be used to see winning lottery numbers. And instead of going back in time and buying a ticket and becoming incredibly wealthy, you instead just use it as a parlor trick to impress your son. That's the sort of thing that we'll talk about as we explore Replay, the third episode of The Twilight Zone, the after show of which starts now.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Yes, indeed. Welcome to The Twilight Zone after show. I'm Christian Blatt, joined, as always,
Raven French.
And down on the far side of the desk,
Angelica Trey. Hello.
And of course,
in your man Chaos J.
So here we are, talking Twilight Zone again. And also, just right off the bat, huge thanks to everybody who checked out last week's episode. It was a tremendous amount of attention. And as we were talking beforehand, I think that it must just be all the rabid Adam Scott fans out there that were just glad that he was finally
getting here. There's not enough Adam Scott.
Agreed. So, you know, maybe he'll find his way into another episode here in the series. I think before we break down the episode, I wanted to talk about just overall reactions, big picture stuff. Raven, your thoughts on Replay?
Okay. Oh, without getting into the social commentary of it all,
which
right
we will
now,
certainly address.
Yes.
Imagine if we just ignored it. And we're just like, we'll just talk about it. It's like, no, let's just talk about the camera.
The cinematography was so good.
And God, that pie looked so good. I know that camera, Raven noticed the pie.
Oh, that would
props?
Be.
Yeah. Oh my God, props did such a great job.
And sound design?
Yeah.
Sound design was
wonderful.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Just 40 minutes of
yeah. So we'll get that. But what did you want, apart from the apple pie, what did you want to comment on, Raven?
Overall, it felt like that nightmare that you want to keep waking up from,
mm-hmm.
and you're aware that you're in the nightmare,
mm-hmm.
and you're trying to wake yourself up, and you cannot. That's what this show was.
That's pretty good explanation.
Well, and fortunately, she was able to kind of wake herself up from it.
Right.
You know, usually there's not really anything you can do. So.
Or you go back to sleep and it starts again.
Yeah.
Like you think it's a...
Those.
I hate those repeated nightmares.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it definitely had a emotional strength to this episode. It was very, in classic Jordan Peele fashion, very visceral, very political.
Mm-hmm.
And Cass, what did you think?
I always think this word is a joke when I hear it, but I'm not going to lie, I was a little triggered. And not necessarily in a bad way. I was definitely on edge. I felt myself getting very anxious and even a little, like a little testy and frustrated because I wanted things to go a certain way. And then, you know, obviously she would rewind and get to start over, but it was just like, it's like everything she tried, as we'll see, you know, still goes left.
Yeah, and, you know, I think that it's certainly an interesting device, literally, the camera, but also just a storytelling device, you know, that you realize when you find yourself in these situations, like, well, all right, let's try it a little differently this time. You know, I have mm-hmm. the opportunity to try it again. And, I mean, obviously, for me watching it, I think you really summarized it. You're kind of on edge the whole time because even mm-hmm. though she can rewind it, it's like, well, what's the point she's going to need to rewind it this time? You know,
exactly.
And it seems like each time it gets worse and worse as to what the reason is she needs to, you know, up until the point that Nina's son, Dorian, actually is killed. So I think that the aforementioned social commentary is very important. I think that what they set out to do in terms of a message was great. I just found the execution to be a little bit of, oh, come on. You know, I just thought it was like, it was at times heavy-handed, which I think maybe it needed to be, you know. But then I was very critical last week that it was only 37 minutes. This one I felt like, oh, okay, we probably could have rewound maybe one or two times less. But I did think that what was really well done was, you know, each of the times that we meet Officer Lasky, you're like, he doesn't really seem like that bad of a guy at first. And I think that's the point, you know, especially when she does buy him the pie and they talk for a long time. It's like, well, see, look at this. This is fine. And then it's just it doesn't matter because, you know, when you're racist and you're determined to find some reason to accost, well, whether it be black people or anyone else, you're just like, you're going to find an excuse to pull someone over.
Right.
So,
or stop them in the parking lot and ask for their pink slip.
Which I thought that was interesting. It's like, well, you can't even get out of the parking lot. And I was glad that that came later, you know, further down the road, which was like, because they're like, oh, we successfully got away, but then somehow he finds our hotel. That was the one where I was like,
Really?
Right.
Really? Me too. I was like,
that was the one.
And my voice blew up too. I was like, no. Like, for real?
Yeah.
Like, that's what we're doing? We're just.
Yeah.
I think that was the most far-fetched.
Yeah, the parking lot makes perfect sense. You know,
yes.
Because what he's asking for is far-fetched, but that's not the point. The point is like, yeah, he's like, I really don't want them to get away.
He found them at the home too.
Yeah.
So.
Right. That's true.
We'll see. Here's something else, and before I even really had a full grasp of what was going to happen in the episode, how it was going to unfold, there was something about the way that when he came in and he got his, you know, and he sat down and said, you know, today's like a chicken fried steak, you know, kind of day, whatever. But there was something about the way when he looked over at them that kind of just, I was like, okay, all right, I got it.
Which I think that look actually said a lot, you know,
it did.
Because I think that's at the point maybe when Dorian gets a catch up on his shirt, you know. So it's like, yeah, legitimately you'd look over, but there's something, just the way that he makes that look.
Right.
You just, you know. And the interesting thing is that they're not specific, as far as I can tell, they're not specific about where this is. You know what I mean? They don't say what state this is, which I think, unless I'm mistaken.
I thought they did at some point because of the college.
I don't know, but I'm wondering. I'm thinking Alabama for some reason. I keep thinking Alabama.
Well, I guess we could look up Tennessee.
I think the point is that it's wherever it is. Like, sure, we can all assume it's the South, but this could happen in Illinois. This parts of California. This could happen. This could happen upstate New York. It could happen anywhere. You know. So I think that I like that they didn't really lean on where they were.
And they gave some context there. Yeah. You know, with the family history and the history of that neighborhood.
Yeah.
You know, where Nina's family was from, as well as them sort of unpacking that it's being gentrified. So it's sort of building a neighborhood, essentially.
And I could tell from the previews, like, oh, even in a Twilight Zone, we can't get a break. I already could tell. And even the catch up, I knew what that represented. And I felt like, yes, it was repetitive, but the intent was to feel what people feel when they can't leave their home. That's you have to build up the
frustration
when you feel like you can't. They have to build up the frustration. If they did it once or twice, it would have just been a little show. But it needed to get us as exasperated and frustrated, because that's what it feels like when your child leaves the home and you don't know
if you're gonna
Lasky
see him.
Lasky represents any cop. Not
right.
That's why he can find them here. That could have been a different cop. Or there, that's a different cop. Because it, as
and
we
that
saw,
honestly
it
would have been interesting had they done that, had they made it a different cop every time they had a different interaction.
Right, and then a scene at the end would be maybe there were like the three
all
police
of
officers
them,
there, so
all
there could be
show
all of them
up, converge
like,
at
oh,
the
okay.
same time.
Well,
I think
a big common thing that we've seen from the last few episodes is, you know, with Jordan Peele's style, is he's trying to use, you know, very few actors and their sort of symbols. In this, that's why just going along with the whole far-fetched that we all thought was the hotel room scene, is he's more of a metaphor of this looming threat.
Right, and look, it's easy for me to say that, I found it really repetitive, but, you know, I think if I was stopped by a police officer four times, it would
honestly. Yeah, we don't need to beat around the bush. It'd be a lot different interaction than if you were stopped by a police officer, either of you. But, you know, so if Angelica and I are in a car together, I don't know where we're going. But we're in a car, okay?
Comic-Con.
Yeah, we're on our way back from Comic-Con. And we get stopped. It's going to be a lot different interaction than if the two of you are in a car. I think I'm going out on a limb there. You know, if we're stopped four times on the same drive, it'll just be different each time. So I think that I was able to appreciate it in the way of, like, well, I can't relate to that, and I think that's why it's important that they have it feel that way of, like, you know, even though from a storytelling standpoint, yeah, that hotel one's really far-fetched. But yeah. I did think that they did a really good job of reinforcing that. It's just like, yeah, I mean, this is what it's like, you know. You get in your car and you don't really know, you're following the rules. I like that they had their little mantra for, what is it, to be respectful, no attitude, be respectful. Yeah. Which, by the way, that's my attitude when a police officer pulls me over. Always, I don't know why people are going to start from anywhere other than that. And Officer Lasky doesn't really deserve the respect, but they give him as much as they can. So I don't know. What were some of the things? Because Raven, you have very detailed notes that I can see. So I always want to, and Angelica, you've got notes too, but her notes are multiple pages and very. So what were some other things that stood out to you? And then we can kind of go through the characters a little bit more.
I wondered at the apple pie moment.
Yeah,
apple pie.
It's literally the first. No, it's not quite. But it's right. It's the first thing. It's the first thing in your notes. It's just
page, yeah.
It's on the next apple page. Pie. It just says apple pie at the top.
It was the first thing I saw on her notes, and I was just like, "Hey, about that apple pie, huh?"
Because I felt like they were trying to bring in the very American.
Sure.
She's American. She's African American. She's trying to find a common ground. Here's where we're common. We're here, and I wondered when he insinuated that his wife was no longer here, if it was at the hands of
a black man. I thought that as well.
Yeah.
And I did think that it was effective that they didn't explain it. It's inferred. And like, okay, that could be the reason why. But it also doesn't need to be the reason why.
You know,
he could just be as racist as the day he was born. Mm-hmm. You know. And so I thought it's interesting. It's like, okay, that might be a reason. But obviously, someone like, you know, this character, but also what he represents, doesn't even need that reason.
Right.
You know? So, that's a great observation.
And when does it stop?
Right. And I thought that was actually really insightful because I didn't even think about the apple pie that hard. And as soon as you said that, I was like, oh, man, that's a symbol for America.
Right? Exactly.
You're right, Raven.
And we've talked about the symbolism of the ketchup. So honestly, what do the French fries represent? I don't know.
I'm not sure. Watch the show.
Yes.
I was trying to pause on the newspaper when Jordan Peele was reading, like, because you can't watch the show without thinking, what does something mean?
Did you see
anything
on it? Because I had that thought, but I also was too lazy to pause it.
Detective Raven, what did you find?
I could not read it, but I looked it up. And apparently it's a reference to another show, the original show.
Oh, that's interesting. Let me see if I can. I'll try and find that. There were a couple of little Easter eggs in this episode. The key one is that diner is the diner from an episode called Nick of Time, which is one of two episodes with William Shatner. Last week we talked about Nightmare 20,000 Feet. And the little devil head, sort of like bobblehead, that's from that episode. So the episode itself doesn't tie into it in any way. It also doesn't really look like that diner. But you would assume maybe some renovations over the course of like 55 years. So, it's nice when they do the little things, you know, like the Gremlin doll last week. And then also last week had the cover of the comedian, you know, that. So, checking out the newspaper, it's not there for no reason. Because if they didn't want you to read it, he wasn't going to be holding a newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
He would have maybe had the legal pad and he's taking notes. So, I think it's great because it's not like you can't enjoy the episode without any of those things. But I like the nice little nods as they go through.
Well, it makes them rewatchable as well.
Yes.
You can go through and you know Jordan Peele tucked away some little Easter eggs in there. The model of the car is the same car from, you know, I don't know, something something like that.
Right.
You dig deep enough.
You do. I saw that, what is his name, Lasky?
Yes, Officer Lasky.
Did you guys catch that? That was a street name in The Comedian. That was his street name was Lasky.
See that? Yeah.
Which street?
It was a
Lasky.
Was it the street where the
bus accident was? Yeah. Hmm. Well, let us know in the chat.
Let us know
if you've watched more Eagle Eyes than clearly I did. But Raven, yeah, Detective Raven is always on the case. Thank you. Yes, exactly. Let's not diminish Angelica's notes. There are notes in front of you. What are some of the observations you had?
Oh, well, they weren't as beautifully, you know, symbolic and metaphorical as Raven's, but I was just sort of going along with some of the narrative here and just branching, you know, with I'm a little big picture as a person. It's like you're perfect to talk to, Raven, because you have the little minute details. Mine are all sort of going along with, okay, here's a big picture. There's police brutality, and how was it solved? So that's what a lot of my notes are based around. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I guess that's sort of it, yeah. But
that's really good, because we can't get past what the episode is. In our culture, one of the issues talked about is the separation of family, and that was the answer in the.
Oh, you saw my notes. Yeah, definitely. So yeah, I was sort of presenting the problem and the proposed solution in this episode was there's police brutality, you know, systemic racism. They cannot seem to avoid this violence. You know, the police officer is a symbol, and he's looming. Going along with gentrification, and then the solution seems to be proposed is just connecting with family, connecting with your roots, and standing united, mm-hmm. As well as holding anyone accountable for it. And I think they used the symbol of the video camera or the phone recording as good example of that.
For sure.
I'm still trying to find the newspaper article, but I did find another one of the themes that they're showing. And by the way, Lasky was the street that Samir lived on in The Comedian. But the number from last week's episode, 1015, that was so important, Officer Lasky's license plate has 1015 on it.
Oh,
that was in your notes?
Yeah. It was.
Okay,
yes.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to steal your thunder. I feel awful
problem.
About it.
I forgot. I'm scared of that number now.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, if it's October 15th, you're on flight 10:15, and it gets
10:15.
Hey, just don't get on the plane.
Do not,
especially if Adam Scott's there.
10:14, you're good.
Yeah.
9:13, great. But 10:15, just beware. No, you know, this is the lesson we've learned, and thank you, Jordan Peele,
for teaching us. There's a lot more to talk about, but first, Angelica, I understand you have a very important message.
I have a really important message, actually. So, hey guys, before we move on to our next topic, we just wanted to say thank you for making us the ESPN of TV Talk. For us to continue to grow, we could use your help. If you're on YouTube right now, hit that thumbs up button and subscribe. And if you're using iTunes, please give us a 5-star rating. But no matter where you are, leave us a comment so you can get involved in the conversation. Being a part of AfterBuzz TV has meant so much to all of us, and we truly appreciate any support and all of the love. So don't forget to tell your friends and keep enjoying our shows. We appreciate you guys. So stay tuned.
We do. We appreciate...
We heart you.
Hearts.
Hearts.
Less than three.
Something else I just want to speak to... as we can sit and we can look at all the different times that he stopped them and all the different reasons, while the only one to me in my eyes that was valid was the, you know, holding, you know, operating a handheld device while driving. Mm-hmm. Some of them we can all admit that they were ridiculous. You know, you're, you know, the vehicle being a certain, you know, proximity, like you just pulled us over or whatever the case. Or no, that was when she was sick.
Right.
She was feeling ill. And
then one guy wants to, you know, take her to a hospital. And he's like, well, we can talk about this after you move
your vehicle.
Yeah. Right.
And then even as far as, you know, not even the noise complaint, but what was the other one? Oh, the parking lot situation.
Yeah.
Right. As crazy as, and I know some people, you know, and I know we think like, okay, you know, it's far-fetched. And even just, even having experienced these things, you still think like, oh, that's kind of crazy. You know, like, that's a little bit pushing, you know, like, that's a little bit too crazy. It happens. Like, a friend of mine got pulled over because the police officer told him he thought his license plate was missing a letter. It was an official license plate.
Yeah.
And it wasn't missing any letters, but he was like, no, it's missing a digit. And then he got, you know, and then after he pulled him over, ran his license and all that, he's like, yeah, so you weren't speeding or anything, but I thought you were missing a digit. And it's like, seriously?
Yeah.
I think, too, again, you know, not only did we get to experience the frustration with each, you know, interaction, but we got to see how sometimes it really is the dumbest stuff that they, you know, that some of these cops will reach for just to pull you over.
Yeah, and I think that, yeah, that what the episode shows is just how determined someone is and the circumstances change. It's like, no, ultimately he's still going to go out of his way. And I'd say the this car looks too fancy for you to own is one of the most believable of all of those. That, you know, it's like, no.
Definitely.
So, and... Yes, I don't know why anyone would possibly have their pink slip in the car,
right.
Because then if you steal the car, you have the pink slip. So it's you didn't really steal it; you own it.
Right.
So, but I don't know. I thought that they did a really good job of having it, you know, just intensify as it went along, but. I don't know. I thought that along the way we do get some nice character stuff, you know, through the little snippets of the rewind. Like obviously, when Nina and Dorian are having lunch, I did like the reference to his future daughter Trinity,
mm-hmm.
whom of course we do see at the end of the episode, which mm-hmm. I thought, you know, again, I thought it was a nice touch, but. The implication, I guess, is that when there's a confrontation late in the episode, that she doesn't really feel the need to really do much rewinding after that. That's not to say that it doesn't ever happen, but you get the impression it's like, oh, she just still uses the camera. I think it is interesting, you know, and I mentioned up at the top mostly as a joke that there's a lot of things you can do with that sort of ability.
Yes.
And she was just really focused on getting her son to college because
right.
that's what was important. Maybe she's smart enough to know that if she rigged it so she could win the lottery, that probably would not make her life much happier. Because
I read that because I was interested
mm-hmm.
that there are other shows of Twilight Zone with the camera. One is a tape recorder and one is called Rewind.
The Rewind episode is from the 2004 version, I think, uh-huh. which was on UPN. Remember that? From the original series, I think it's called A Kind of Stopwatch, which you could freeze time. So it's a similar, it's a similar usage in storytelling as this.
I read that they were gamblers in one of those.
Like, yeah, they would figure out how to use for, yeah. I think, horse races and mm-hmm. stuff like mm-hmm. that. Yeah, that's the way I remember that one anyway. So, yeah, all of these would be very useful. And, yeah, I'm more in line with the horse race bettors that I would be like, well, yeah, let me figure out how I can make money using.
I would have fast forwarded. I would have rewinded.
Yeah.
I would have been doing some crazy stuff probably with that camera,
or at least fast forward enough to see how to get rid of this guy.
Like, how do I die? Okay, let's rewind. That was too much.
Yeah, it's like,
Why did I do that?
Yeah.
Why did I do that? Now I'm gonna be awake every night.
That's the interesting thing, though, is. We never get the impression that she can fast forward. She has to actually live in real time, but then she can rewind. But if, you know, it seems like she doesn't go further back than the moment she realizes that she can do it. So she never goes further back from the mm-hmm. diner, which, you know, it's a 45-minute story. Let's not go back like 10 years. And, you know, I think that'll complicate things if they do that. But I think it's a very specific sort of ability, which is of course a very Twilight Zone thing. You know, it's not as simple as like, oh, let me just look around through time. It's like, well, you can just sort of a very thin line that you can follow. So I thought it was good. You know, we were talking before about the casting, and I think it's really important, these shows, because, yes, like in all three of the episodes, there have been a lot of characters, but there's only really been a handful of main characters that have a lot of dialogue. I mean, in this episode, you really focus on the three of them, the Lasky, Nina, and Dorian. And Nina's brother, whom we see at the end, but that's really towards the very
black
end.
Guy from Law and Order.
Well, you're gonna have to be more expensive. Oh, more, yes, more specific.
No. This it's a reference and it's a joke.
Oh,
so
okay.
Anybody that is watching, if you got what I just said, then you can go ahead and throw it in the chat.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a reference. It's that character. I want to believe. I believe his name is Steve Harris. Is it Steve Harris or Charles Harris?
Steve.
I think it's Steve Harris.
Steve. Yeah.
Yeah, he's known for his work in Law and Order, but he's also known for his work in Diary of a Mad Black Woman.
Oh, okay.
But then he's that Diary of a Mad Black Woman and his work from Law and Order is parodied in the Boondocks.
Oh, that's funny.
When they refer to him as the black guy from Law and Order, because no one ever knows his name. We just know he is the black guy from Law and Order and the evil, you know, husband from Diary of a Mad Black Woman.
Well, the interesting thing is...
So it was nice to see him play someone that was actually a good guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was you know, working trying to place the actress who played Nina, and I'll probably get her first name wrong, but Sanaa Lathan?
Yes, Sanaa Lathan.
Yeah. And so I dig through IMDb, and I'm like, oh, she's the voice of Cleveland's wife from Family Guy and The Cleveland Show. That's who she is.
Yeah.
So I didn't recognize her face, but certainly I had heard her voice a lot.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of Cleveland in my life. But I thought that she does a great job of, you know, just we see her get more agitated, and it gets up until the point where her son is dead. And I did wonder in that moment when she's like, you know, I had a camera. And I was like, what if they don't let her have it?
Have the camera, right, because it was used in police evidence. It was taken for evidence, and that's what I was fearful of.
I thought that's what was going to happen. She wasn't
going to get the camera back, so her son was going to stay dead.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. At the same time, too, I got a little agitated because at the entire time, she's the one that knows that she has this capability to rewind. She also knows at this point when they're in the parking lot that this cop has already harassed them several times prior to that. So I understand why she lost her cool, but I still got upset. Like, no, what are you doing? And that's one of those things where it's... I always look, you know, like whether I'm watching Cops or whether I'm watching Live PD... or one of those type of shows, it's always entertaining and interesting to me to see how cops interact with different people, especially non-black people, and how people are just so comfortable talking to police officers and people in you know, in law enforcement any old kind of way. And it's something that within the black culture has kind of been ingrained in us growing up, you know, even as adults, it's, you know, still reinforced to always be respectful to the police, and you have to kind of be over the top with it to a certain extent because you don't want to give them any kind of excuse to take you, to think that you're being flippant or rude or disrespectful because it may not end well for you. So seeing that where she was literally getting upset because I understand the frustration, like, why would this not be my car? You know, and furthermore, why would I have my pink slip in my car? I still was like, no. And I actually thought in that moment she was going to get shot and not her son. For a split second, obviously, when he goes in the car, I'm like,
oh, once
no.
he said cell phone is when I
right.
was like,
yeah.
oh.
Cell phone, yeah. sudden movements. Because even when he was reaching for the, you know, for the camera that one time and then she rewinds it, you know, where it got rewound, I'm like, no, any sudden movements. It's all bad. Like and it's crazy, and I'm going to stop talking in a second because I know Christian's ready to speak again. But
no, you're making my job easier. This is great.
Speaking from experience, and this is something that is unfortunate, but I know for me, I have several different routines practiced for if I get pulled over, so that I literally have everything available in sight within reach that I don't have to turn just so that the cop doesn't feel some kind of way whether it's broad daylight or it's at night, I literally have like, okay, a whole thing of like a whole checklist of things that I'm going to do within those minutes, you know, those seconds before he gets out of his car and gets to my window.
Yeah, and I can't imagine that, you know, once you pull over, it's like, oh, let me get everything out of the glove compartment now, because they'll see that you got into something, and then mm-hmm. it's like they'll have more reasons. So, right. Yeah, I think that, look, the Twilight Zone at its best always gives you a lot to think or talk mm-hmm. about, and I think this episode did that really well. I did want to give credit also to the actor who played Dorian. His yes. name is Damson Idris, and you would recognize him from Snowfall, the FX series.
Yes,
that's okay. that's really the big credit that he's had. But so I thought that it's great, and you know, and then you see some of the actors who we're going to have next week. You have Greg Kinnear and. Yeah, the guy from The Walking Dead, his name I don't remember. But, you know, you see all these people and you're like, oh, it's great.
Steven Yeun.
Yeah, thank you. I knew he wasn't a zombie.
I love him.
Well, there you go. And, he was on when I went to the Twilight Zone panel at Paley Fest, he was there, which was interesting because no one could talk about their episodes, because none of the episodes had been streamed yet. Mm-hmm. So no one could talk about who they played or what their story was.
He is my favorite character.
So did you stop watching that show?
Yeah, I don't want to spoil it, but yeah.
Just for some reason. Yeah.
Threw it off for me a bit. I kept watching, but I was sad.
So in any case, I think that, I don't know, just I like giving credit to everyone as we go along.
Everyone was amazing.
Yeah. And look, Officer Lasky, that actor's name is Glenn Fleshler. What a great, you know. Not a great person character wise, but great acting, you know,
yes.
because just from that look we referenced, we're like, oh, right. this guy's trouble, you know, mm-hmm. and I think that's not that easy of a thing to do, you know, mm-hmm. to convey that
without saying anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
And even in the very end, you know, when they have that standoff where he's got the, you know, the gun pointed at her. You know, you could see the range of emotions that he was going through in that moment, especially once he realized that even his guys weren't going to back him up.
Yeah, I thought mm-hmm. that was interesting because the guys sort of, they have a little bit of an aside and they're like, how far out are we going on this? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of cameras here. Yeah, Lasky, we're going to go. Like, you do you. But
this
we're,
is all
we're
you, bro.
He
even says, have you watched the news or something like that?
Yeah.
Like, in mm-hmm. reference to the camera. Like,
yeah, and so I don't know. I mean, I guess there's a lot of takeaways you can have from this episode, but I think that Yonina was so hesitant to not return to that neighborhood mm-hmm. and not ask for help from her family. And her brother even talks about, like, you know, you could have come for Dad's funeral, that sort of thing. So I thought that was... you know, she was so determined not to do it, but that's obviously how she figures out how to accomplish this task that she's on. You know, that all she wanted was to get her son to college.
Him saying that makes me think of your point to why she would blow up at the car thing. Because if you remember, she even made some comment like, yeah, they say I'm fancy or that's why I left.
Yeah.
When you're that person, and I'm saying that person who... You go off, you leave your family because your family's mm-hmm. this and you're that and you want better, which will then mean your family's not better for all intents and purposes.
Even though that's not how you feel.
Exactly.
But she's just trying to get out. And it's like, oh, you think you're too good now.
Exactly.
You think you're better than us.
In some way, you kind of do. And so you work hard to get what you have. So to have someone say, how do you have that? Would make that person blow up.
And you know what?
Because she's spending her life trying to not be this, whatever this is.
Right.
Whatever that family history is. She's spending her so many years trying not to be that. And now someone's saying, well, you're still that.
Well, not only that, but then it's like, how did you get that? Mm-hmm. Like, you don't deserve something like that. And it's funny because it's that same thing can go right hand in hand with... being made to feel like you're an imposter, having imposter syndrome. I've dealt with that too, where, you know, I would pull up, you know, in my vehicle or whatnot, and people, you know, and I would have people say, well, what do you do? Like, you know, what are you? Like, are you a rapper? Are you, you know, like, what is your deal? because people couldn't figure out what I did, especially when I first came home from Afghanistan, because I had my own business. So I, you know, like I worked from home, I worked crazy hours, you know, and here I come in with this new, you know, souped up sports car and whatever. And I've gotten that. And then I also, too, have gone home and, you know, people are like, oh, you know, Kelly moved to California and oh, he's fancy now. And so I could definitely understand that. I also feel like another reason she was probably reluctant to go back home, not only just because she just wanted to do better for herself, but I mean, you heard her as she talked about all the different family members that she lost, mm-hmm. you know, that were shot there. So why would you want to go back there, let alone bring your son back there? That's all she has.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, just going beyond that with the, you know, socioeconomic mm-hmm. commentary in terms of, you know, the system and sort of what Jordan Peele was saying, obviously with her character as well. And then just chaos, what you mentioned, where for a second when she was frenzied, you thought she was maybe going to get shot.
Mm-hmm.
But there was that moment where it's always the son. And I think that's the main
right.
point
yes.
is that
no matter what happens,
no matter what, it's a commentary going along with
black men
trying to, well, more so trying to undermine people that are trying to better themselves. Mm-hmm. He's just trying to get to college, and she's trying to protect
too.
Him and get him to a higher education so that he can have more opportunities. And there is this symbol for racism that is, it keeps getting in the way and it keeps trying to stop him.
Mm-hmm.
And so it made sense. It was always the son. The mom was almost safe, impervious.
Right.
Right. No, I think that let's talk about the way the episode ends, because we only have a couple of moments. Like, literally, the ending, one of the common themes in The Twilight Zone at any time that you're able to bend the laws of time is that ultimately it will catch up with you. It just might mm-hmm. take a little bit longer.
Right.
So the fact that when he does go outside, we only hear it. But he does have that run-in with police that they'd been able to put off for, I think they established it's 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know, Raven, your thoughts on, as we don't see it, but we hear that unfold.
I thought it was perfect because in real life and what they had already established for us, which was that kind of frustration of starting over, you hoped that it was okay that the camera was broken, but it wasn't. So I think that was the point. Like,
yeah, exactly. And I guess the fact that the camera breaks, I mean, that tells us that
anything that happens, there's an ultimate sense of finality to it.
Right. Mm-hmm. It was a matter of time that no pun intended, sorry. It was inevitable that the camera would not work at some point, mm-hmm. so you wouldn't be able to do it. And just little Trinity sort of sped it along. And so he goes outside, he has the altercation that we don't see.
We don't, right.
But we also know she can't rewind. So it again, as this show so often does, gives you a lot to think about. Mm-hmm. Are there any final thoughts before we wrap up anything we haven't touched on? I feel like we've done an excellent job, but I wanted to make sure that nobody had anything else. Let me read a comment from Jackie Gonzalez in the chat. Did you notice that the three times that she rewound before she started getting very agitated with a cop was always going to shoot the son with a taser versus the last time?
Yeah, I noticed that. I didn't make any note in my mind
right.
about it, but
No. It's Jim Jim says, please talk about Uncle Neil, about the explanation how their dad always had that replay magic all along to save his kids. I'm not quite sure what Jim Jan is referring to, but there's the fact that this was his camera.
Mm-hmm.
So did their dad know that it had this ability? And if so, wouldn't he have done something to
that
preserve it?
That makes a little sense, because I was like, why did her brother just believe her like that? That's a weird thing to say.
That was really quick. Like,
right.
Okay, sure. Yeah.
I believe you. Right, and now I was going to speak to that as well, is because when she was getting ready to tell her son, and she's kind of, you know, setting it up, I'm like, he's not going to go for this. He's going to think that she's really lost her marbles. And then again, with her brother, that was, I'll say this, while it was kind of unrealistic for us because we've seen these scenarios play
sure.
out, I did appreciate that she didn't have to fight them to get them to believe her, because we see that all the time where they're fighting and fighting and fighting, and it's only after it's too late do people like, oh my God, you were right all along.
Yeah, right. So, yeah, exactly.
Almost like a podcast on a plane.
Wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
On that note, we want to let everyone know that we will be back next week, but we are moving to a new day. As you know, these episodes premiere on Thursdays. So not this Thursday, but a week from Thursday, we'll be back and we'll talk about episodes 4 and 5. It's the same time. So Thursday at 10 Pacific, we will be back, and that's where we'll stay through the end of the season. So this way you'll kind of be able to hear what we have to say a little bit closer to when you might watch the episode. So please make adjustments that way. But until then, Raven, where do people find you?
Raven French on all social media.
And Angelica?
Angelica Trey on pretty much all platforms at A-Trey, A-Y-Y-T-R-A-E.
And Cass J, where do people find you?
All right, Twitter, you should already know, K-A-A-O-S-J, Instagram, Chaos underscore Jones, and shout out to Malcolm for helping me get here tonight.
And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at ChristianDMZ, and amongst the many shows that I do here, Thursday night at 10 Pacific, which will be our new time slot, this week is the season finale, the season 2 finale of Star Trek Discovery, so you can find me there. But until then, we will, we'll see you next week, but we'll see you in like a week and a half. Bye, everyone.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.